Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Hey, happy Monday night, folks. We're glad that you tuned in with us again tonight, and we look forward to being with you every week on your show, Raising Expectations. You know everybody that's on our show. We pretty well go through the team each week. You know that we are what the Bible calls blood-bought, born-again Christians. And yes, we are Christians. That's that tremendous group that you know the nation, the United States of America, was founded on. Judeo-Christian ethics, what's right, what's wrong, how we judge what's going on in the world. And we believe God is who he says he is. And we believe God will do what he says he will do. And he has done it through his son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. And like I always say, someone will say, well, why does that matter now? For two key reasons. One, we know that he's working in our life each and every day as we put our faith in him. He shows up every moment, and he's only a prayer away. He walks with us and he talks with us. And like the old hymn says, he tells us that we're his own. And it's great to know that he's with us every moment of the day. But even more than that, we know where we're going when it's our time to go. When this life ends, it begins again with him. He gives us the gift of eternal life. It's been a pretty rough week, as we all know, as we have lost a warrior, a champion of the faith, a gentle-hearted giant who cared about people, who loved God with all of his heart, loved God, loved his family, and showed it through what he said, what he did, and the life that he lived. It's a privilege to know about him. It's a privilege to watch him. And Charlie Kirk is someone who will not be forgotten. He's a generational giant. I believe he's like the next Billy Graham for this generation. He covers two or three generations, and I think we'll still be talking about him when I'm no longer here. I'm 77, going on 55, maybe 65. But anyway, God's not going to be around too that much longer. But I know that I'm looking forward to seeing Charlie Kirk when I get to the other side. And I know everybody that I talk with, you feel the same way. And why do we care about this? Because the same God that Charlie loved and his family is the same God who loves you tonight. And we bring people on the program that help us to realize the name of the program is Raising Expectations. You can drum up, think up, write up, study up, try to be anything you want in life. But the greatest way to do it is to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and then let God show you the plan that he has for your life. And it'll be a plan that will be beyond anything you could have ever thought up on your own or been judged or pushed or kicked into by what you might see, hear, or think on YouTube, the television, your iPad, your iPhone, whatever it might be. There's a lot of so-called movers and shakers. They're not shaking anything but dust. The one who really wants to change your life is Jesus Christ. And Charlie Kirk showed it with his life. I wasn't the same for a couple of days, and I don't think that the folks we have on our team were the same either. I want to quickly show again and share them with you. We're going to take a little less time on this tonight because we have two very special people to share with us tonight. First of all, we know on the West Coast, we have Dr. Paul Hall in Lompoc, California, next to Santa Barbara. And Paul has been on the team since the beginning. We started together as God led us. Paul and I were roommates back in college way back when, and We follow the Lord working in our lives. He's been very special in my life. He's my brother, and we've just watched God work forever. Paul and I, if we go to the East Coast, down on the south side of the East Coast, we end up in Dalton, Georgia, and there two of our favorite people would be Steph Thayer and Dr. Craig Thayer, her husband. Steph is on the left, and Steph is a tremendous woman of God, a great mother, a great wife. She's a lady who helps women across this nation with the life that she lives and the words that she shares, which all stem from, as Paul's do also, a personal life, living, dynamic relationship with Jesus Christ. God's real, and he lives in her life. And her husband, who is on her left there, my right and her left, Dr. Thayer, he is a special surgeon. He's a man that has been working with these hands that he always shares that he gives to God every time he does surgery. They've also done mission work around the world. They're just two of God's choice servants, and these people and have just blessed my life beyond comprehension. I've been a pastor 55 years, but I don't know anybody in all those years in the church that's blessed my life like the people I'm sharing with you right now. And they're going to bless yours like you all tell me they do week after week when you get in touch with me through emails and texts. No letters. Used to be cards and letters, but that was a lot. I was a lot younger. Now we just get emails. But in any event, it's a great thing to see what's happened. And Ron is not with us tonight. He'll be back. But you know, Ron is a pastor there in Texas. And works with the man in the mirror, does a tremendous job helping people, men to see who they are in Christ. And I know that he's another one like all of us that have really prayed for the Kirk family, prayed for the organization from every man and woman that is involved with it across the nation and literally around the world. We hope to show you a little of that in the end of the program. But tonight we have two very special guests that we want to share with you. You know that we've always been blessed when we've had Dr. Pamela with us here. Dr. Pamela Pyle, and her book is tremendous, as you know, Anticipating Heaven. Just what Charlie was always ready for heaven. He shared it every time he shared with people or face to face in large groups. He always shared it. Her book, Anticipating Heaven, you'll want to get a copy of it. Spiritual Comfort, Practical Wisdom, and Life's Final Chapters, What Those Come to Mean. When God's ready for us, we have joy in our life, and we know where we're going, and we can anticipate that like we do every day living for him here. You want to get a copy of her book, and it's on the website. You want to make sure you get a copy of Anticipating Heaven. Here's some information. Our engineer, TJ, we thank you, TJ. We sure appreciate you, buddy. He has information for you right here. You can write this down and make sure that you get a copy of her book and follow and make sure when you get this website up that you listen to what she said there. Go to the internet, and also you'll find her there. LinkedIn. She does a tremendous program on LinkedIn. You'll find out things about what she's saying and sharing. You just want to find out and touch base with this wonderful lady of God and what she does as a doctor, a surgeon, and as what you're going to find now. A very good author. Very, very good author. She's with us. She's part of our family, and we're so thankful for her. And we're blessed tonight, and I'm going to let her do the invitation in just a moment. Then her husband, Scott, is with her, and we've heard so many great things about Scott. This man loves God. He loves his wife. These two are, once again, like I just shared with you on our team, they're people who emanate the love of God. When you're around people like this, you just know that there's a great hope greater than this world. And we know that that comes from Christ Jesus. And they just share it. You feel it, God's presence when you talk with people like this. So I'm going to invite them on the program now. Scott, you're in for a real treat just before we let Pam introduce you also. This is going to be fun. We'll let you. We have a world-famous introduction, better than 20th Century Fox. Brought this 2 years ago. It's around the world of applause. It's around the world of applause. It goes like this. We're glad you're with us. Welcome to
A
have you
round
here.
of applause.
Pam, take it away for us. We'd love to have you take it right here.
Well, I am so thankful to be with you guys again. Always, it's a pleasure, a privilege, an honor, and it's especially wonderful to be here with my incredible partner,
Husband.
husband
Yes.
for years, and the man that led me to Christ. Prayed for me for 2 years before
Let's
I
see.
finally listened to him and also to Jesus knocking at the door. But he was so faithful in how he was transformed and was a witness for Christ, and truly his actions and who he became after becoming a Christian is what led me to Christ. And so that's an irreplaceable gift. He's also been a wonderful husband. We've been married 33 years. We have 5 kids, 8 grandkids. And he has a lot of different roles. It's hard to explain all of them, but financial services. He is building out right now Kingdom Economy, which I'll let him talk to. He has a significant role with the White House in the Faith Office. And John Maxwell, he's a senior advisor. But most of all, he's a humble statesman, is how he was described last week while we were in D.C. And we were friends with Charlie and Erica, and it was a really difficult week for us last week.
And yes,
with so many. Yeah. Wow, she never says that much nice about me all at the same time.
Hey, it's recorded, just so you know.
I can't wait. And she actually said I was right about something, but it was Jesus, so it's hard.
Amen. Amen. It's good to meet you, Scott. We're so glad you're here. And tell us a little about yourself, too. That's great.
Yeah. Well, I know being from Texas, I'm just really a small country boy from the southeast piney woods of Texas. And who would have thought Pamela is a small country girl from little country girl from Oklahoma that he could do so much with just a couple of kids. And grew up actually in a broken family, but God, I can look back now and see how God had his hand on me through it all. And when we got married, she's, well, you know how you say you complete me. She turbocharged me. And we met and moved to Myrtle Beach. And I've been in the financial services world for 33 years now, as long as we've been married. And the last three, almost 5 years, God has called me to a place where we can finally look at clients and say, from the moment you give us your money till the moment we hand it back to you, we will align your wealth with your purpose. We will not violate your biblical standards and beliefs. You won't sacrifice returns and you'll have excellent service. And that is really an amazing place to be.
Amen.
At this point in life. And as Pamela said, God's used us to build companies, sometimes break companies, turn
that
them around,
like us.
Break us. And we just have had an incredible journey. And so much of our journey really changed about 8 years ago when God led us to meet Steve and Jackie Green, and we became broken over the Museum of the Bible. And we could talk about, I can keep going. So you tell me when to stop.
I like it. Keep going.
Keep
taking notes.
Yeah. So, I mean, we really have Pamela's medical practice, you know, her practicing in critical care her whole life. Mm-hmm. Have always God's used us to start things from a Christian school to churches to ministry, youth ministries up and down the Grand Strand and along the beach and out a dragon boat festival for one of the He's used us over our life to start a lot of things in ministry. And we were in Rwanda since 2009. And I just didn't think we could ever grow any more than that. I just remember thinking, this has got to be, how can you go?
The pinnacle.
Yeah, the pinnacle. Being a part of Rwanda, seeing a country that, if we're not careful, where all tribal politics leads. I mean, think about it. If you tell one group long enough that you don't have and can't have because of this group, eventually this group is going to get rid of that group.
Right.
Because outside of Christ, there is no hope.
Amen.
And to see a country that just a little over 30 years ago, and when we went there 16 years ago, still in the throes of rebuilding. But to rebuild an entire nation on forgiveness and reconciliation to see the humility of a broken people, but yet the pride of dreaming big and growing a new nation under real biblical principles.
Amen.
To what they are today has been an incredible journey. And so we just thought, how could you get to do any more? Through business, we had invested. You remember this movie called I Can Only Imagine?
Yes.
Little Christian movie?
Oh, amen.
That happened to be our first Christian movie to ever invest in. And we're stopping there. That you can't get better.
That's so good.
It's what well, we didn't stop
We
there,
didn't
but
stop
nothing
there, but
else
it's
is
just, I mean, how could it? And at the filming of I Can Only Imagine in Oklahoma City, we had the privilege of meeting the Green family. And the Green family is a family who owns, founded, and runs Hobby Lobby.
Yes,
And
man.
the relationship just blossomed from there. And not too long after that, Steve Green, he asked us, he said, you guys should come to Israel with us. It's a trip with the Museum of the Bible, and we'd love to have you come. And I'm like, Steve, I know about these trips, and I love you, and I love what you're doing, but that's just not, it's not for us. We have our five things, we're fully committed. There's just no more. We don't want to take a seat up. And he's like, no, it doesn't matter. Come anyway. And I'm like, well, let us cover our. He just wouldn't stop. He wouldn't relent. Oh, you're not going to pay your way. And finally, we said, well, if we can invite a friend who will maybe donate, then we'll feel good to come. And sure enough, a dear friend said yes, and we ended up going.
Not just a dear friend, our son-in-law's mother,
Mother,
who's also a dear friend.
dear friend, there
They
you go.
dated since 8th grade,
Our
and now,
son-in-law and daughter.
yeah, now 21 years married.
Yeah, we love him. We put up with her every now and then, our daughter.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. I mean, great
That
problem.
is. Say that again, Stephanie.
I said that's a great problem.
Oh, it is, isn't
Yeah.
it? And so, long story short, God drew us to Israel and then broke our hearts for the protection of his word, the preserving of the historicity and the archaeology and the science proof that could be wiped off the face of the earth. We didn't stand in and protect it. And it was so moving. But at the time, remember, we're in Rwanda, we're full, there's no more margin, there's no more room financial. And I just knew that because that was a time where Pamela would go, I'm going to sell my jewelry. And I'm like, why are you selling it? Well, I want to give it to Africa New Life because we need more children. We're going to take it. And I'm like, honey, what? Is there something I need to know about our finances? You're selling your jewelry? I mean, and she goes, oh, I just can't take it. And then I had to tell her how much you really get when you sell your jewelry secondhand. But it
Yeah.
was, that was her heart. If there was anything left, it's going to Rwanda. It's going to Rwanda. It's going to Rwanda. I remember getting on the airplane, coming back from Israel, and God had broken my heart the night before and gave me a number. And for us, the number was so outrageous that I'm thinking, okay, you must be off.
Right.
You forgot. She's not letting any money go anywhere else. And so she'd come back from the bathroom. We're about to take off. And she's like, hey, I want to talk to you before we take off. And I'm like, okay. And she said, I think we should give. And I went to the museum. It's like, yes, I think we should give. I'm like, okay. And I'm thinking, kind of that let's pay for our expenses, let's give. And she looked at me and she goes, and it's a huge number. And I'm now really confused. And the only thing, Joe, I wish we'd have done is I wish we would have wrote the number down. It was the same number. Staying, and it was the largest financial commitment of our life we had ever stepped out in faith and pledged,
Not knowing where it
not
would
knowing, I
happen.
mean, really not knowing, just total. And it has been so transformational in our life. And we live on Malachi 3:10. That is a foundational verse in our life. And I just wish we would have done what we did when we were 30 years younger. But the only way I can explain it is prior to that, and imagine all that God had done with us. But if our spiritual life was a pond, stepping out at that moment and partnering in the museum was spiritually like throwing an 18-wheeler into that pond.
Wow.
It just displaced everything. Everything changed. And today, matter of fact, we wouldn't have known Charlie and Erica, and we wouldn't have known so many of the ministries if not for that moment of saying yes to God.
Amen.
It has just been the greatest ripple effect that you could ever imagine.
Amen. Wow, what a testimony, huh?
Well, and I would like to suggest that the biggest sacrifices are often where we see the biggest change. I looked at him and I said same amount. So I already knew when you were going, because we are budgeters. We've
yeah.
taken Ramsey forever because we did it wrong before. And the one area we are very loose is giving. And so we're like so disciplined. We know where all of our money is. And then we're like, so today, and what happens is you become so open-handed. But it's a journey and it's a sacrifice. And then what you lose is, in the material realm is nothing compared to what you gain. And so I relate so much to what you're saying. And it's story in the Bible, right? The woman that gave all that she had. It's a heart issue. And we don't know what the ripple effect will be. We don't know what doors that will open up for us. It changes what we care about, why we're working so hard, what we're working for, right?
Yes, and it just totally, when you know your finances, and and then God shows up in ways, and not just the money. You think of that part in Malachi 3:10 where it says, I will pour out the stores of houses of heaven, pour them out upon you. Test me on this.
Yes.
The only place he says, test me.
I know.
The only place. And just recently, before we went to Rwanda, we had spent a few days in the White House with the president and with the faith office and really hearing our president speak things about his new heart after that bullet in ways that he is expressing things that I've just never heard him say before. Mm. And for no matter what you think about our country or our politics, it is the most powerful house on the planet. It is the most powerful house on the planet. And here we are sitting there and experience this. We got to invite about 30 of our friends, came with us, and watching them meet the president, watching them in the East Wing, just, we can't believe it's happening. And then 8 days later, we're in probably one of the poorest houses on the planet in a government-subsidized home in Rwanda, in a village, feeling the same awe of God in both places. And I remember looking at Pamela going, this is it.
We get to do this.
We get to do this. Look at the rainbow of experiences we just had in 8 days, from the White House to the most impoverished. And that is, to me, Malachi 3:10, the impact, the relationships, the love, the at both places. It's just a sense of God working through us that we know it's him.
Amen.
And that is what's so supernatural, because I just know it's not us.
There you go, boy.
We're just not that good.
We're
not even going to be capable.
Like John Maxwell would say, he said, we're all pretty good. We're talented. God's given us gifts. He goes, but if it, and I've edited this a little bit, and I'll give you my edit, but John used to say, if it doesn't blow your mind and just scare you to death, it's probably not God.
Yeah, that's
and I've changed it to say, if it just doesn't blow your mind, and with a healthy dose of fear and trembling, it's probably not God. And And that's where we get to live. I mean, we get to live in this place that it can't be us because we're not capable
Walking in the light. Amen. I
of it.
love Ephesians 2, where he says, wake up every day. I usually use this, that we're workmanship created in Christ Jesus. What before the foundation of the world? Unto what? Good works. And what are those? What are those good works? I'm back to Malachi. And I think to myself sometimes, we just get in, as Christians, we get so busy listening to things around us that are frightening, that are not going well, and so many problems and so much of a prayer load for people sometimes that we forget. God says, I can do that in the twinkling of an eye. I've got all of this under control, Joe. I know what we're doing. And I saw the pictures of Rwanda, and we're going to put more up. I'm going to do that again. We're excited about November 10th, too. We got that one down. So we're looking at those. I was so moved. I wanted to show Stephanie then, but I didn't put it up. We were going to go a different direction slightly with this. But when you walked in and that dear, precious little black mother or grandmother was there with you guys, and I heard a little of that story, and that just ties in with what you're saying. I mean, God does miracles from the places you least expect, and he touches ours. If you're not shook inside or don't feel excitement, or if God never causes tears to come into your eyes, then you're not walking close enough. You're missing the steps he prepared. Get back in them.
Yeah.
So, thanks, Steph. You have any thought you wanted to share there? I'm sorry, I got going there a little bit.
No, you're okay. It's good. I'm just listening and enjoying.
We should tell it. Dr. Hall is also, when we were at the university, he is the best scribe in the school. He takes notes. We're putting a book out about each of the people on our show. Of course, we're going to be part of our family. But Paul takes great notes, and this man walks with the Lord too. Paul, I know you preached on Malachi. I heard a couple of those. And you got a thought on where this hits you? Because I know you quit right in your thinking. I love it when I see you thinking that way.
It's just really humbling. Yeah, Scott, it's so great to meet you. Thank you for
My
taking
pleasure.
The time to be on the program with Dr. Pamela. It's good to see you again. I just think those of us who love the Lord and understand the struggle of the journey, if that makes any sense.
Oh, yeah.
When we hear from other people how God is moving and breaking hearts and pushing us beyond what we could ever imagine, it's an extremely humbling and fearful thing.
Yeah.
And to hear what you're talking about and hear what you're saying is both at the same time encouraging and scary. And I think I would love, I've been walking with the Lord since I was 14, and I'm in Celsius, I'm 23.89, but in Fahrenheit, I'm 75. So I've been walking with him for quite a while. And, I think there was a time in my life when my faith was very childlike. I learned as a pastor, if I really wanted somebody to be on top of something, ask a child to pray
mm-hmm.
for it, because
yeah.
they're just unencumbered. They just go after it to have that kind of childlike faith. I get a sense that when you talk about Rwanda mm-hmm. and what you experienced there, there's much of that childlike faith going on, and that must be an incredible encouragement to you and how you share the story as you go along. But I just find it encouraging, especially during this last week or so, because there are so many things going on that can hurt hearts and deflate and make people angry and take sides. I would hope that in every pulpit where people have a desire to know the truth, that we stay on point and talk about Jesus, because he's the only thing that can change it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can work hard, but that we just trust in that. I would like to ask a question, if it's okay. Maybe a lot of people don't know that the White House has a faith office.
Mm-hmm.
Could you kind of tell us about that and why that exists and some of the work that the faith office does? That would be really encouraging as well.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I would reflect back to President Trump's first term. He asked Paula White, his pastor, his spiritual leader, and she's married his children, to come into the White House and bring that faith, as he would say, bring that faith of yours, bring it on in here. And the first term, I tell you, the faith office really shook Washington up. And we've seen that, right? We've seen the quaking from our capital city.
Amen. That's right.
In so many ways. And when I believe God is sovereign in every way, shape, and form, and when President Trump and his administration was given a pause, and the American people were allowed to see what could happen, should this country go the other way, it gave the faith office and President Trump and Pastor Paula White and her team 4 years to get ready. I often hear President Trump tease about three terms. I hear him tease about this. But I, what I really think he means is he's going to get three terms in this one term. So fast. And the faith office is exactly what you would pray it is. And it is Christians who welcome all faiths. This is our government. We want freedom of religion in this government and the right for everyone to find Jesus Christ on their own as he called to us. So first and foremost, it is a faith office, but it is ran by Christians. And the first thing they did when they came into that White House is they put a prayer team together and walked and prayed over every square inch, every chair, every room, every desk, every drawer, every painting, every book, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And took back our capital for Christ.
Amen.
And then President Trump, through his initiatives and his executive orders, has given authority. Paula is in the West Wing. She's in the West Wing. She has an office. The faith office is right down the hallway, a few steps down, though, from the Oval.
For the first time. Other faith offices.
We're over in other places.
Amen.
And the next step, and it's already happening, President Trump has given full authority for every cabinet member in their area of influence. Each secretary will have a faith office inside their department.
Wow.
And so think about that. DOJ has their faith officer. HUD has their faith officer. Department of State under Marco Rubio has their faith officer. And it is expanding into every aspect of our government. And they are, and you can see what the head of the Department of War, we call it now, is doing with prayer time, and the faith office is a part of that. And so it is everything you would pray as a Christian. And what I love about them is they are saying, come and help. Come and help. And they are open-handed. And it has just been an amazing thing to be a part of and to see. Jenny, who works with Pastor Paula, Dave Donaldson, who's now over grants for the government, they're knocking on the doors, occasionally kicking some down. In the name of Jesus, to give the people of faith the same access that so many others had that was never offered to people of faith. And so again, I could just keep going. So ask questions and we can more detail or move somewhere else.
I just want to add to that. So faith-based nonprofits, ministries, will have access to grant applications.
We're working on some really neat,
really cool
things. And the Lord continues to move in ways that just recently there was family and fatherhood. And because of Dave Donaldson and because of the faith office, for the first time, a lot of those grant applications were able to be submitted. Now, you would think family and fatherhood, that wouldn't be a problem. But we are expecting some announcements in October, Lord willing, that will start to move the needle. And it really is to the beauty of thinking about public and private partnerships to serve the widows and the orphans and those in need in our country with efficiencies and effectiveness, not with an institutional approach. We're taking 50 cents on the dollar to just process and hand out the grant money on behalf of the taxpayers of the United States of government, but bring love and care and efficiency and effectiveness where we'll stretch the dollar of our fellow taxpayers in ways that has never been seen before. It's the multiplication that Malachi and that the parable of the talent talks about. That multiplication equals faithfulness.
That's right.
We are to be faithful with the treasury of our own government, and that is another door that has been opened to the faith office.
Boy, I wish everybody could hear this, huh? They'll cry. I hope you listen tonight, folks. This is really exciting to hear about this. That's I have I'm looking at a clock. We've got some time here left. We're doing well. I had a question if you guys are ready for it. I don't know if you're set now, but we've been praying as we think about the nation. And I always love to watch these conferences that come with oh, now I can't think of her name. The press secretary. She does such an outstanding job when they meet, when she comes up and
Levin.
addresses.
Yeah,
Yes, thank you.
and they pray behind that door every time they open it up.
Show it now.
I saw a clip of her the other day praying. She's all sweet, and then she turns around and she goes in. I was like,
Just do this,
Get the armor and the sword out.
Amen.
That's right. Yeah. She walks by that group at the door. Did you see that one, Stephanie? Where she walks
Watch
by,
out
she
for
says,
my
"Let's do
blade.
this." Go ahead, Tank. I'm sorry.
I just said, watch out for my blade. I could swing it.
Yeah, that's right. This is the truth. We were thinking we had so many people. This group and Ron couldn't be with us tonight, but Ron wrote some great things. Stephanie wrote some great things. Tank did in helping people. Paul wrote some great prayer things for people about Charlie and his family. And I in our last minutes here together, we've got some time. Could you maybe share with us? Maybe some of your insight as to the testimony and how you knew them, and just once again for people to hear how God had his hand on him and we all got the blessing from it.
We've met
Foster Freeze. Y'all know, remember Foster Freeze?
Nice.
Foster Freeze. We were at National Prayer Breakfast 8 or 9 years ago. Charlie was a pretty young man at the time. Been bouncing through the big room there, and Foster was like, "You got to meet this young man. He's the future. He's gonna." And just because I Foster and Lynn were, I think, one of Charlie's earliest adopters and supporters,
That's
and that's
cool.
why we had the privilege of meeting him originally through them.
And then just following along with another organization we're a part of that supports Turning Point. And Charlie's been at a lot of our events, and we had many conversations with he and Erica and Lucas Miles, who's over Turning Point Faith. And
And really a lot more.
it just seems surreal that this event occurred. God is sovereign.
Yes.
And one of the things I've been encouraged and I've been discouraged. I've been encouraged that I've seen so many people say, Charlie Kirk died, but a million more of us are rising up. And they had 9,000 chapters before Charlie's death of Turning Point in high schools and universities. And it's already up to 64,000
Wow.
applicants in different schools in different states. And so it is true that, the people are rising up because the message wasn't always a political message. It was a message about Christ,
Amen.
A message about the nuclear family. It was a message about fatherhood.
Yes.
And it was a message about loving our country and being willing to have discourse around people we disagree with, but come to a place of unity, because there's more that we agree on than what we disagree upon.
Yes.
And he was deeply loved by the youth of his generation, but he also was deeply hated by the youth of his generation. And despite that hate, he went into places that he knew he was hated, that he knew he would be booed, and negative talk would occur. I can't even imagine that he even thought what happened last Wednesday would occur. But he took the risk. And I don't think he would change anything about that day or his life up to that point.
Yeah.
And it's up to us, the old folks, and all the younger generations, to be brave enough to step into his shoes, which were very big.
You know, one of the things that she's talking, Charlie was such a fighter. We seen as a debater and a fighter.
Yeah.
But even in sitting around the table or moments where we would think we're taking a break, he's like, you can't take a break. We can't. What are we doing?
We got to talk more.
There's 24 hours left. We got to go. And I remember one specific time right before the election and the 2 years leading up to it, our organization that partnered with Turning Point and a few others, and just left it all on the field. And it was, I think it was Saturday night before election. And
it was in,
he was just so
Palm Springs.
Yeah. He was so exhausted, but so invigorated and so hopeful, but so angry. And I just remember going, brother, you just need to just rest a little in this, just a little. And he goes, I don't even know why we're sitting around meeting right now. We should be out there. And so, you know, you see the public, and then we have, I mean, we have real, we have, you know, I've just seen the hurt and the pain. And to see him in those moments,
yes,
it was time to go home. We all know God is sovereign. Our days are numbered.
That's right.
God allowed him, Charlie Kirk, to be lifted up publicly so our Father could be glorified.
Yes.
And what I'm seeing is, literally, I'm on the phone before this time together with a dear friend who's been out with Erica and the kids, and he and his wife, and they're worried about security. They're worried about protection. They're worried about her now. And
there's been threats against her.
And they're so just pouring it all out in this moment. But then I talked with someone earlier who said, you know, I never really watched Charlie, but at church yesterday and all day Saturday, I've just been grieving.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's like, I didn't even know him.
Yeah.
And I said, it's the first time I feel globally the bride of Christ.
Yeah.
It's just hurting.
Yeah.
Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit is grieving and we're all feeling it.
Yeah.
So this young generation, we've been speaking to them and they're so confused and they're so brutally angry, but at the same time, just broken inside. And they almost feel ashamed or weird because they didn't know him, but he was in their room every day on that screen. He was in their life, speak truth.
Yeah.
And for them, they were close. And so I want to tell the young generation, it's okay to grieve. It's okay to mourn. It's actually okay to be enraged, but let the fruit of the Spirit cover you. And know that if Charlie was sitting with you, he would say, let's cry, let's mourn, let's praise the Lord, and then let's go do our job so we can all go home.
Amen.
And he would have forgiveness. He would, with all of this terrible social media celebrating his death, he would still forgive.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. It's hard to understand. I have one thing that just made me feel a lot better, because I felt the same way, Scott, this week. It was just, in fact, reading my dear family here, the things they wrote really helped me, Steph. You guys, thank you. Prayer, the whole thing. Paul always comes. They helped me, because I had a really, really bad time. And I didn't even know him, but I felt like I did, you know, like you say. I don't know, Steph, did we get a green light on this?
Yeah. You want me to share?
We want to share something with you, ladies and gentlemen, before we close here in just a couple minutes. I want to encourage you with something that I think Charlie's would be cheering for right now.
So this is it's a clip. It's a reel or a TikTok or whatever from Pastor Jason Answers. And he has different handles on social media called Pastor Jason Answers. He has YouTube by the same name. And he also has a website, PastorJasonAnswers.org. So we're just going to take a minute and listen.
Thank you, Steph. Thank you, Steph.
Amen. Amen.
That says it, doesn't it? That says it. Well,
no.
Okay.
The solace that I can take, and, you know, Pamela, you and I are a very close relationship with death because of being an intensivist and a trauma surgeon, is just to know exactly what that message said, which is, man, he was the example of dying to the flesh, to rise, to be with Jesus.
Yes.
Yeah.
And look what he's done.
Amen.
And the scripture of, we can really see how God, what Satan intended for evil, God has magnified to the greatest breakout of his Spirit I've ever experienced. And Charlie, had he known, would have voluntarily gone for such a victory.
Right.
So while we cheer for that, we pray for Erica and the children and their safety and their ministry. Because if the Lord tarries, sounds like we have about 70,000 high schools and colleges we got to set up shop on and
go cool.
Turn the point there.
Man, let's
go. A lot of work.
Well, I tell you, it makes me think of Moses. He took out the Egyptian. The devil meant it for bad, but look what God did after that with Moses. Same scenario. I like what you said. He would have stood up and said, let's go right now. So long, folks. Now turn to Jesus. Yeah. You know, I'm going to ask us tonight. First of all, it's been great to have you with us, and we look forward to knowing you better and better, Scott. And Pam, we call you Dr. Pam. You just, both of you, you're precious people, and we feel the Holy Spirit in your lives. I'm going to close the show a little different tonight. And especially, I know this was rough for Pam this week, and we're praying for Erica and two precious children. I'm going to ask Stephanie, as another mother, they got great, great family they have too. We'll get to know you better. Stephanie, would you pray for the family, for Erica and the children? And
it would be an honor.
Thank you.
Dear Lord, we are just so thankful for who you are, that you came, you showed us what you have to offer. You died for all of us. There is literally nothing we can do. You love us and you're calling us each to you. And I just lift up Erica Kirk Lord,
yes,
and her daughter and her son. They are so young, Lord, and they have such a covering over their life and such a calling. I just ask for a hedge of protection. I ask for wisdom. I ask for strength, Lord. I ask for just that lioness inside of her to come so alive and to carry on that legacy that she had with her husband, Charlie. Lord, I know that the union that you create for us in marriage is so significant, and it's the only math where 1 + 1 = 1, Lord. And so I just thank you that you brought them together, Lord, and that you just surround Erica and the kids with the people that they need to help them to carry the weight, to allow them to grieve, to allow them to mourn, and just to sit in that deep space, Lord. I also ask that you just call folks to you, that you let them be small groups of community gathering together to talk, get in their word at the local coffee shop, to not do life alone, Lord. We all need that same thing. Open the door for each person to have an opportunity to learn about you and get in relationship with you, Lord.
Yes.
We know that, and even in the hard, and even when we do not understand, you are so good and faithful. And we thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Stephanie. Thanks, Tank. Thanks, Paul. Love you guys. And we've grown to love you guys already. So the Piles, thanks so much for being with us tonight. And we look forward to November 10th. We've got the next spot. I couldn't wait to have you back with us. Scott, you're in our prayers. Every single day, we'll be praying for you, just like we do for your wife and the ministry she has. And so we will just look forward to seeing you guys again. God bless you and keep you, empower you, give you direction. And may he keep giving you that same number, whatever the task is he wants you to do each day. So you'll know he's exactly what he's doing. All right, ladies and gentlemen, God bless you and keep you. And pray for the Erica and the children. And remember that we're being watched not just by the Lord, the great cloud of witnesses that we know, as it tells us in the Bible, but he's up there rooting for us. Let's go to work. Let's remember the message he gave, and let's let Christ speak through us in a way that's going to impact lives. Love them as Christ loves them. Don't argue. Just give the love of Christ. Watch what the power of God can do. Look what it's doing in our nation and around the world. Thanks so much. We'll see you next week, same time, same spot, raising expectations through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Good
Amen.
day.
Blessings.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556, or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.